If you'll turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going through the Gospel of John together. We're going to look at verses 9 to 11 to get the context. We're mainly going to look at verse 10, but in verses 9 to 11, note what the Scripture says, what Jesus says. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you have given us. We thank you for these wonderful promises of our Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would enlighten our minds. Help us to understand these wonderful promises. Help us to appropriate them in our lives by faith and by obedience, Lord. And so we just ask your blessings upon the preaching of your word that you will enable me this morning. And yes, Father, I do pray for Darren's ministry and the others working with truck drivers in Africa, Lord, that you would open hearts to receive the gospel, that you would bless their work. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, I shared the first part of chapter 10 where Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he leads his people in the right way. He sacrifices his life to save the sheep. Jesus is a good shepherd also because he promises in verse 10 not only to give us life, but to give it abundantly. And here in this context and in this scripture, Jesus contrasts himself with false religious leaders who are not good shepherds of the sheep, but they are described as thieves and robbers. They do not lead people into life. They lead people into death. They do not lead people into abundance. They steal and take from them. But Jesus is different. Jesus Christ gives life and he gives it abundantly. And this morning we're going to see those two promises of Jesus, that he will give you life and that he will give it to you in abundance. And I want you to make sure that you have received this life and that you are entering in to the abundant life that Christ has promised you. And so I want to share with you, first of all, this morning, the fact that indeed you may have life in Jesus Christ. You may have life in Christ. You know, someone may say, well, I already have life. I'm living and I'm breathing, but that's not the kind of life that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about spiritual life. He's talking about eternal life. He says in verse 28, I give eternal life. And so this is the kind of life that we're talking about this morning. And so he says, I have come that you might have life. So what does that mean? What all does that involve? Well, that certainly involves, based on the context, that we are delivered from death. He describes himself as a good shepherd who lays down his life to protect the sheep from death, from wolves and others that would attack God's people. Jesus says, I'm come. Instead of death, you can have life, he promises here. And the fact is, Jesus is the one that can save you from death. And the Bible teaches in Ephesians 2:2 that you are already dead in trespasses and sins until you come to know Jesus as your Savior. Spiritually, you're separated from God. Spiritually, you're dead. And John chapter 3 and verse 18 says that the one that does not believe in Jesus is condemned already. Already condemned. You're like a person on death row. You've been condemned. You're just waiting for the final and complete execution of the sentence. And yet Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life, that I will save you from this death. And the question is, do you believe the verdict of God? Do you believe the verdict of Jesus that without Him you're dead and you're doomed for eternal death? Well, if you believe Jesus, you need to look to Him who promises that He can deliver you from death. But also, we can receive life now through Jesus. Again, He says in verse 10, I am come that they might have life. And again, in verse 28, the kind of life that He's talking about is eternal life. Eternal life. This life that Christ gives is not just adding years to your life. It is eternal life. You will die physically, but you will live on forever and ever because of the life that He promises you. And the good news is, you don't have to wait until you die to get this eternal life. Notice in verse 10, I have come that they may have life. It's a present tense. This is something that you have now. The moment you believe in Jesus, the moment you're saved, you have eternal life. And it's a life that you will have forever. It is indeed eternal life. And so Jesus Christ can give you eternal life now if you believe in Him. But you know, the fact that we have eternal life now, the moment we believe in Jesus, implies something about how we're saved. All the other religions of the world talk about salvation in terms of works. What you have to do in order to finally obtain eternal life. But you know, if salvation were by works, you would not obtain that eternal life until you die. Because it's not until the end of your life that you have demonstrated whether you've done enough good works and done enough good deeds to obtain this eternal life. But the fact that you receive it now certainly implies and indicates that salvation is by grace. It's a gift of God. It's something we receive by faith. We have eternal life. But we also see from verse 10 in the context that only Jesus can give you this life eternal. Let's see some evidence of that. For example, in verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life. Did you notice my emphasis there? I put emphasis on the word I because there's emphasis in the original language when Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. You see, in the original Greek, the pronoun I isn't necessary, and when it's there for emphasis. I, in contrast with others, have come that you might have life. Only Jesus can give you life. If you look back in verse 10, He says, I am the door. Again, there's emphasis on the pronoun I. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the only door to eternal life. There's only one door. There's only one way. And Jesus is the way. And how is it that Jesus is the only one that can give us eternal life? We'll look at verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. Jesus is the one who suffered. Jesus is the one who died on the cross, not for His sins, but for our sins. He died in our place. He suffered in our place. And He is the one that can give us eternal life because He loves His sheep and He lays down His life for our for the sheep. And so Jesus promises that I have come that you might have life. I have come indicates His mission. He came on a mission to die for our sins that we might have eternal life. And so the first promise is that Christ will give you life. He will give you life eternal. But there's more. Not only does He promise to give us life and life eternal, but He also can give us abundant life in Him. He promises abundant life. You know, we watch television commercials, I'm sure all of us, and we've seen those commercials that they'll say, oh, listen, you can have this, but wait, there's more. And they tell you what else you can have. No extra charge, you know, just pay shipping and handling, and you can have it. But Jesus says, I not only give you life, but I will give it to you abundantly. I will give you an abundant life. Oh, yes, this life that He gives can be in abundance. Some lives are like a dying candle, barely flickering a little light, where other lives are full of life and full of life. And that's the kind of life that Jesus wants you to have. That word translated abundantly gives the picture of a river overflowing its banks. There have been so much rain that so much water, the rivers are overflowing their banks. And even so, Jesus Christ wants your life to overflow with all the blessings of God and the fullness of life that He wants for you to have. What a wonderful promise Jesus gives here. You know, there's a lot of parallels between John 10 and the 23rd Psalm. And in the 23rd Psalm, David says, my cup runs over. Jesus wants you to have life and have it abundantly. And I want you to see some more pictures of what it is to have an abundant life. There's some illustrations I can give you. First of all, health. You know, if you're really sick, you know, you feel bad, you're weak, you know, you have life, but not abundantly, right? Well, even so, Jesus Christ wants you not just to have life, but have it abundantly. You can have His strength and His vitality filling your life. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You don't have to live a weak, sickly Christian life. You can be strong. You can be filled with life and spiritual health. And then freedom is a picture of the abundant life in Christ. You may have life, physical life. You may be healthy. But if you're in bondage, if you're a slave, you do not exactly have our picture of an abundant life. And even so, Jesus Christ gives us freedom. And you do not have abundant life until, at least in your soul and in your heart, you are free. And yes, Christ can do that for you. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus says, and the Son shall make you free indeed. Yes, through Christ, we can have freedom. Instead of being bound by sin, instead of being bound with addiction, whether we're talking about alcohol or drugs or pornography or gambling or gluttony or any other host of addictions, Christ can help us to live free at all times. The abundant life in Christ. And then furthermore, wealth is a picture of the abundant life. You know, you may have health, you may have freedom, but if you're living in abject poverty, that's not a picture of the abundant life. There are some people in this world that work from sun up to sundown, 6-7 days a week, and they barely have enough just to eke out an existence. But having all that you need, and even then some, is a picture, at least, of the abundant life in Christ. Now, I'm not one of these preachers that will tell you that if you follow Jesus, you're going to be rich. I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher, but it does give a picture of our spiritual riches in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. Let me give us some examples of the spiritual riches that we have in Jesus Christ. First of all, regarding our salvation. In Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, it says that we have forgiveness in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. Aren't you glad that He gives life, life abundantly through the riches of His grace? It doesn't matter how many times you've sinned or how awfully you've sinned. If you come to Christ, His riches will bring forgiveness into your life. Romans 10:12 says, "For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him." If you'll call upon Him, asking Him to save you and forgive you, He's rich. He's rich in grace. And then Romans 5:20 says this, "Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." Listen, God's riches in His grace is far more, far greater than your sin. God's grace is rich. And then in our physical life, in our physical possessions, we are rich indeed. Philippians 4:19 can be a verse that we can claim. "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Aren't you glad that He can supply our need not just out of His riches, but according to His riches? And you know what? If you have more than you absolutely need, you're rich. You're blessed. And the Lord can bless us according to His riches in glory. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that we are to trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Oh man, just last night, cut into Landis Simmons' watermelon he gave me. And ate some good old watermelon, ice cold watermelon. Just one of the simple pleasures of life that God has given me and blessed me with. He's given us richly all things to enjoy. And oh, listen, the half has not been told. When we do finally enter into heaven, just think of the riches that will be ours. 1 Peter 1:4 says that God has promised us an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. How many times have people thought they had an inheritance and it's gone? It's not there. Or they get it and then it's gone in no time at all. But our inheritance will be eternal in the heavens. Romans 8:17, it's even better here that if we're God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means, that we're joint heirs? That means that all that Christ has, we have. All the riches of Christ are ours. Indeed, He is true to His promise when He says, "I give life and give it more abundantly." Oh, Christ will give us abundant life. We see these pictures of what it is to have the abundant life in Christ. But I want you to see something else about this wonderful abundant life that Christ promises. And that is the consistency of this abundant life that can be ours. If you look again at verse 10, He says there that they may have it more abundantly. And I call your attention once again to the word "have." And it's in the present tense, which not only refers to a present possession, but an ongoing possession. That it's actually God's will for us to have an abundant life on a regular, ongoing basis in our lives. You know, the world is looking for the pleasures of sin. And they're looking for something more in life. They're looking for pleasure, but yet the book of Hebrews says that the pleasure of sin is for a season. It's only temporary. It doesn't last. But the abundant life in Christ is an abundance that we can have day by day, week by week. You don't have to live a roller coaster Christian life where sometimes you're up and a lot of times you're down. You can have an abundant life in Christ on a continual, regular basis if you'll only meet the conditions. You know, I have known some Christians over the years, and you've probably known some Christians over the years, that seem to have that abundant life. And it seems like that they just have it on a regular, consistent basis. I think of Margaret Fontaine and how long I've known her. She seems to always have a smile on her face, always seems to have joy in her heart. And that's the kind of abundant life that Christ wants us to have on a consistent basis. But I want you to see then the channel of this abundant life. Jesus is the one who gives it. Jesus is the one who makes it possible. But the one who actually is the channel of this abundant life is the Holy Spirit. And I hope that you will see that. If you look at Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is excess." This world is looking for life. This world is looking for pleasure. This world is looking for a way to feel better. And many in the world turn to alcohol and drugs as a way to feel better, to have a lift, to have some pleasure. But I want to tell you that drunkenness and getting high on drugs and all the other pleasures of sin are a cheap substitute for the abundant life that Christ has for us through the Holy Spirit. You see, it goes on to say, "Be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And I want to tell you, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have life and you have it in abundance. The Holy Spirit will give you the abundant life in Christ as we are filled with His Spirit. But another aspect of experiencing the abundant life through the Holy Spirit is being filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. And I want to identify four of the fruits of the Spirit that I think really are key to experiencing the abundant life in Jesus Christ. And the first is love. Love. You see, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit comes an experience of the love of God in your life. And I want you to know that when you receive the Spirit and when the Spirit gives you the love of God, that gives you the capacity to love as God loves. An unconditional love. A faithful love. A loyal love. And you know what happens when you love people like that? That love's going to come right on back to you. It's going to come back to you. And so when you love, you are going to be loved. You're going to be loved by your church family. You're going to be loved by your own family. You're going to be loved by your friends. And when this love is coming to you, it makes you feel great, doesn't it? It meets us a need in our lives to be loved. And so to have love and fullness of love and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is a key aspect of experiencing the abundant life in Jesus. Just to know that God loves you ought to give you fullness of life and joy. Speaking of joy, that's the second fruit of the Spirit. God will give you joy and He will give you fullness of joy. In fact, Jesus said in John 5:11, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Fullness of joy. I remember the first time I really experienced the fullness of the joy of the Lord. I was just a teenager, and it was nothing like I'd ever experienced before in my life. Yes, the Lord wants you to have an abundance of joy. That's a part of the abundant life in Christ. And I tell you, for most of us, when we're full of joy, we're full of a song unto the Lord. Singing to the Lord. In fact, Ephesians 5:18 talks about being filled with the Spirit. And then it talks about singing to one another in hymns and songs and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I tell you what, when a church has revival, when a church is full of people who love the Lord and are walking in the Lord, you don't have to browbeat them about singing. They're going to sing to the Lord because they have joy in their hearts. Joy. The Lord will give you fullness of joy. And then peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Philippians 4:7 describes the peace of God that passes understanding. This world doesn't understand the kind of peace that we can have in the Lord. And what is peace? It's the sense that everything's okay. Everything's going to be all right because you have faith in God who is sovereign, who is on the throne, and you know that all things are going to work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to the purpose. And so instead of living in anxiety, you have peace, fullness of peace through the Holy Spirit. And finally, another fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Galatians 5:23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. And I want to tie that in to this verse, John 10:10, where he warns about those who are like thieves, who come to kill and steal and destroy. The devil is out to destroy lives. His false teachers are out to destroy lives. The enemies of God are out to destroy lives. And I tell you, one thing that destroys lives is addiction. Addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs, addiction to gambling, addiction to immorality and pornography and all of these addictions that take over people's lives and they're in bondage. But how can we avoid addiction? How can we overcome addiction? Well, the fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. God will give you strength to say no to that temptation and will give you strength to remain free in Christ. Oh yes, to be free, to have peace, to have fullness of joy, to have wonderful love from God and from God's people. Folks, that's the abundant life right there. And it's all possible through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to take a look at your life this morning. Do you have life, eternal life in Jesus Christ? That's the first step of obtaining abundant life, is to have life in Christ, to repent of your sins and to trust in Jesus as your Savior. And if you have not yet entered into that saving relationship, if you haven't received this eternal life, then I invite you to do that this morning. And then, there are a lot of believers that have eternal life. But if they're honest, they'll say, I don't have an abundant life. I certainly don't have a consistent abundant life. Well, how do I have it? How can I have this kind of an abundant life that Jesus is talking about? Well, I believe that the the greatness of the abundance of life that you have depends on the depth of your relationship with Jesus. So you need to be growing in your relationship with Jesus. You need to be praying each and every day. You need to read and study the Scriptures on a regular basis. You need to be living in obedience to what you learn. You need to be serving Christ and serving others. And as we do these things, we grow. We need a connection with the local church, and through the fellowship of the saints and through the ministry of the church, we continue to grow. And as we have this daily vital relationship with Jesus Christ, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can have life and have it abundantly. And that's what Christ wants for us. By the way, note, He says that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. It's not automatic. It's just a possibility. But it's a real possibility if we'll only meet the conditions. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Jesus, that He's the Good Shepherd, that He gives life and gives it abundantly. Father, we all should just thank You for being such a good God, that Jesus is such a good Savior, a good Shepherd. And we thank You for Your goodness that You promise. And I pray that everyone here will know in their hearts as they leave today that they have life in Christ, and that they are taking the steps to indeed experience the abundant life that Christ promises. Work in our hearts this morning. Help us to make the commitments that we need to make. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we have our hymn.